Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you're ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I went from building a chimney cleaning business with my husband to ranking in the top 1% as a leader in network marketing to my true calling as a visionary strategist and coach. I'm passionate about helping others navigate the sea of business and life. If you're ready to leave the daily grind behind and discover the joy of entrepreneurship, let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. Welcome back to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and we are continuing our conversation on the Clifton Strengths 34, and I am welcoming back my new friend, Hannah Milkins, and talking about her intellection today. And I'm going to put a plug, if you have not listened, go back and listen to episode 81. And we did a double theme and we talked about connectedness and restorative. And both Hannah and I had so much fun in that conversation. It is a longer one, but it's so worth it. So if you haven't caught that podcast, make sure you do that episode. Make sure you go back and listen to that one. But welcome back to the show, Hannah.
Hi, Sherry. So glad to be back with you. I enjoyed our first conversation so much. So thank you for having me back on.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this conversation again. So today we are going to jump into your intellection. But before we get started, if you want to reintroduce yourself to the listeners and then also share your top five themes.
Sure thing. So my name's Hannah. I live in upstate New York with my husband and my 18-month-old daughter. And right now life looks like I went back to school after the pandemic hit. So right now I'm doing some classes. I'm going into emotional health work. And in the meantime, doing some extra fun stuff on Zoom, hosting some workshops and some networking meetups. And yeah, utilizing so much of my Clifton strengths as I transfer into a new stage of life. And my top five themes go in this order. I have empathy, intellection, which we're talking about today, connectedness, restorative, and relator.
Great. And I know in the last conversation, we definitely did see how the connectedness and restorative have played such a pivotal role in what you were doing and even in the transition phase that you're in today. And I'm anxious to see how intellection shows up in everything. So intellection is a strategic thinking or from the strategic thinking domain. And I'll just read the official Clifton Strengths from Gallup's description here. And it says, people with strong intellection talents like to think. They like mental activity. They like to exercise the muscles of their brain, stretching them in multiple directions. This need for mental activity may be focused. For example, they may be trying to solve a problem, develop an idea, or understand another person's feelings. The exact focus will depend on their own strengths. The theme of intellection does not dictate what these people are thinking about. It simply describes what they like to think. They like to let their thoughts go in many directions. People with strong intellection talents are introspective. The introspection gives them time to reflect and ponder. Wherever it leads them, their mental hum is a constant in their lives. And, you know, I've been asking all of the interviewees, when you hear that, what resonates with you? Does that really describe you, or what points really jump out and say, oh, that's so me?
Yeah, so much of this does. And that last phrase you're talking about, the constant mental hum, I think is very reflective of my nature, where reflection and just spending time in my own head is probably my favorite pastime. Mm-hmm. There's always a lot going on in there. And so I remember when I first read this description, I was just like underlining so many aspects of this and going, this makes so much sense of so much of how my life has been. Definitely that constant action, that constant need for just chewing on different things and seeing how pieces come together, working with ideas, and just kind of seeing what comes out of it has definitely been a huge part of, I think, my whole life since childhood.
That's, I always love to ask that question too, is like, do you remember the showing up when you were a child?
Oh yeah, totally. I think, you know, when I was rereading in the book, some of the aspects for intellection, I know one of the phrases they used is like, you are your own best companion. And for me, when I look back at my life, I realize like, oh, I really always was fine being by myself. because I always felt like, you know, my own thoughts were really good company for me. And so I often was like on the playground off by myself doing my own thing, and just, you know, lost in my own mind, in my own imagination. So, and that definitely carried with me through life, where I still will just go out and wander and just think by myself for hours at a time. definitely showed up even on the playground days.
I love that. And I'm curious, did you have a lot of people, definitely as a child and maybe even still as an adult, who didn't like that? Like they thought you should be, that there was something wrong with you perhaps because you wanted to be by yourself. Did a lot of people try to fix that in you?
You know, I think what sticks out to me even more than the idea of someone else wanting to, I actually personally, I think, criticized myself for this for a very long time. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you know, the kids that are popular and accepted are the ones who are maybe a little more extroverted. They're, you know, kind of the ones that are the life of the party. They're witty, they're making jokes. And I was often the person kind of on the outskirts of things. A lot of times I didn't want to participate in things, but I felt like I should. And then I felt like, oh, something must be wrong with me because I'd rather be alone than go hang out with these kids and play with them. Or I'd rather be sitting at home in my room than going to this party. And I definitely thought that that meant that, you know, maybe I was, oh, I'm too shy or I'm too this, and criticized myself a lot for that. And as an adult now, I've realized like, oh no, that was just my preference. I really just liked being alone. I liked having time by myself, and it was very nourishing for me and really made me feel, it helped me be social when I didn't want to be social. And when I was pushed too much, you know, because of circumstance, to constantly be with people and kind of conform to that, you know, that idea of, you know, a more extroverted existence, I realized it made me so drained and so miserable.
Right. And I imagine when you discovered intellection and Clifton Strengths, did that just like set you free? Did you feel like you were like, oh, finally, I can just be me? Like, was that an experience you had?
Oh, I think it definitely really affirmed something that I was starting to learn to embrace this part of myself, but like seeing it in words and realizing like, oh, this is also part of a strength. It's not just, okay, I just need to accept this about myself, but this is actually a good part of who I am and it serves a purpose, and it's okay to embrace this and not feel like, oh, I need to, you know, conform to some other way of being because we're all different. And that's completely fine. And so often when we're young, we think, you know, we're trying to find who we are. And so often conformity is like this high pressure. And so being able to see this and see this as a strength, and even just, you know, in the book, they have some quotes from different people who have similar experiences with these strengths and saying, oh, here's somebody else like owning this and saying like, I love this about myself. was definitely a huge part of helping me see it as a beautiful and good aspect of who I am.
Right, right. And that's the thing I love about with the strengths is it does put, it gives you that freedom. It gives you that peace of like, oh, this is who I am. And this is a good thing. And you, because sometimes we put the wrong label on it. Like as a child, you might have, like you said, thought that you were just shy or you're just an introvert, or we put this other label on it. That's not really what's happening there. It's not that. It's just, you like who you are. You like the thoughts you have, and you have some great thoughts happening in there all the time, I imagine.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I think that's so true. And, you know, just realizing that, yeah, I can embrace this about myself. And even if other people are uncomfortable with it, and even if someone else might look at me and say like, oh, you're antisocial. It's like, well, no, that's not what's going on here. You know, I wish I could go back sometimes in my mind, like if I could go back to little Hannah and tell her something, you know, I think this would be one of those messages to say like, it's okay to be different in this way. And it's okay to own it. And actually it's part of a strength that you have, and you're going to keep using this rest of your life. And it's a beautiful thing. And even if some other kids might not understand it, or they might be like, why does Hannah always not want to participate in certain things? Or, you know, being able to free her from that would be a beautiful gift. So I think getting to know these things as an adult makes me excited for my daughter as I'm raising her to be able to hopefully help her find these gifts and not feel like they need to be, you know, a handicap in her life.
Right, right. I know. I think the earlier we can discover these things or accept these things and know who we are, the better. Absolutely. So some of the intellection in action, they are characterized by their intellectual activity. They are introspective and appreciate intellectual discussions. They have a depth of understanding and wisdom. They love to read and analyze things, and they like time to think and reflect. Mm-hmm. How do you see those kind of things showing up in your life as, you know, where you were working or even moving forward with this new life you're creating for yourself?
Yeah. So this has been really coming up. This particular one has been coming up for me so much, especially over this past year. And part of it has happened because, you know, I used to have, when I was working full time out of the house, I had a lot of jobs that were very, I had a lot of autonomy, I guess would be the best word for it. I had a lot of time by myself where I could sit and just kind of have, you know, authority over the tasks that I'm doing. And I was alone and I could sit and think and be in my own head as much as possible. And I loved that. And I loved that feeling of going, you know, getting into work and sitting down at my desk and then looking through tasks and analyzing what I needed to do. And I got a lot of satisfaction out of that. Now, like then moving into this pandemic period when I became unemployed and then was figuring things out, it was like, all of a sudden I was just home constantly with my husband and my child more than I'd ever, you know, we were together more than we've ever been together in the history of our whole marriage. And all of a sudden, a lot of those times that naturally I had for just thinking space, all of a sudden were gone because I was just constantly with, you know, with him, with her in this, you know, in our house, especially for, you know, for those first couple of months where no one was going anywhere. And I was like, I started just feeling really off. I mean, you know, there was lots of things going on, obviously, that were, you know, bringing up different emotions through all of that, but there was something that just felt so off. And all of a sudden, as we got into it, I realized like, oh, I need time alone. I need to be alone. I need time to sit and think and reflect on things and have space. And so as we started kind of like slowly getting back into a life routine after our whole life routine was thrown out the window, I was like, I really need this. And so, you know, we were able to like really talk through what does that look like for me? What do I need in that way? And, you know, my wonderful husband, who's so supportive of me, was like willing to do whatever I needed to get that time to sit and think and be alone. And so, you know, he often gets up in the mornings with my daughter, and then, you know, I'll have a couple hours in the morning before I go down and we really get the day started. And once I started doing that, having that time and that space to just literally, I sometimes just sit here with a pad of paper or just stare out the window. So many things kind of become clear for me. It's very grounding. And I often come up with lots of really great ideas for things that I'm working on. And, you know, one of the other things I noticed was like, okay, I have this time to myself. And then I started filling it again with like other things. Like, oh, well, I have this task I need to do, and maybe I need to, you know, work on this. And slowly I found, like, after I finally carved it out, I started filling it. And then all of a sudden I started feeling off again. And I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, you know, thinking doesn't always, you know, that space, that spaciousness doesn't always just happen in life. And so if I crowd it out with all these other tasks, then all of a sudden, you know, it goes away very, you know, unconsciously. And so we've had to kind of go through these cycles over this past year of like recommitting to me having time just for that thinking. And when I do it, I realize like, that's when stuff starts clicking, you know, problems that I'm working on, ideas that I'm trying to formulate. It's like in that space of that quiet time alone, like that's when everything comes together for me. And if I don't have it, then those things don't often happen. The other thing I was going to mention too, when I was really desperate for a while and my daughter was still sleeping in the car a lot, I discovered that like, oh, if I go for a drive and just pack her up in the back of the car, like it gives me this like wonderful, like reprieve to just be in my head as I'm driving around. So I can't tell you the number of miles I put on our car over the past year, just going on thinking drives. But they were so helpful. And so, yeah, I find, you know, if I make intentional time and space for that, then things go so much better. I'm so much more present when I'm then with people afterwards. Otherwise I find like, if I haven't had that time, like I just get super distracted because my mind wants to go. And if it doesn't, if I haven't honored it and given it its time and space, it'll still happen, but maybe not always in the moment when you want it to.
Right. Right. It's interesting because now, intellection is number 20 for me, but I have my self-assurance and my strategic are very similar in that respect that I have learned. Same thing with you. It's a journey. It's a process. But I realize that, oh, why am I so agitated? And it's always when I start to get really agitated, it's because I have not had my thinking time. And my husband teases me and he pictures Winnie the Pooh doing the think. I'll tell him, I just need time to be quiet and think. I don't want music on. I don't want TV on. I don't want to look at my phone. I don't want anything. I just need to sit and think. So it's very interesting. It's the same process, just a different way of looking at it. And maybe the thoughts are totally different, but I totally understand that. Like, carve that out. And I'm curious because for me too, a lot of times I've accepted it now, the more I've really dove into strengths and I really understand that's just a part of it. And to be my best, I have to have that. But like you, I wanted to originally fill up every time that I had space to do something and an activity or to even learn, because learner's high for me. So I love to learn, but it goes against like societal thinking sometimes, because we should be creating something like physical that people can see. And it's hard when it's a conceptual thing. Sometimes we come up with awesome ideas, right? And other times maybe it's just that space to think and nothing really even comes of it. But how do you make sure that you don't fall into that, to go back to that time where you felt like you had to fill in all of that space? Like, how have you learned to truly continue to honor that? Or is it just knowing that you need it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I so relate to everything you were just saying, because it is it is a challenge when, you know, our society is so focused on productivity. Mm-hmm. And what's the result? And, you know, show me the product of what you just did. And yeah, I mean, I think even just this past year has been a good awakening for a lot of people that, you know, these pressures of productivity are not always very healthy for people. And yeah, for me, I think, you know, it's a constant bringing myself back to it. You know, I often try to create patterns for it. So I find like, if I do something like going for a walk, you know, I'm doing something physical, I'm away from like distractions. You know, I can't check. I mean, I guess technically I could check emails on my walk, but don't bring my phone. You know, you just go out and you put yourself in a position where really all that's possible is thinking, has been helpful for me. Because often if I sit down like at my desk, you know, when I want to do thinking time, it's like, oh, look, a tab's open on my computer. Oh, wait. Oh, looks like I got another email here. And maybe I should just check that first. And it's very easy to get distracted. And so I think, yeah, one of the most helpful things for me has been creating opportunities for that thinking where I am undisturbed and not necessarily expecting myself to have good thinking time in environments where I'm primarily doing actions, like, you know, like having my calendar in front of me or, you know, something like that. So that's been pretty helpful, but I definitely still fall into it. And there's times where I'll, you know, if I get behind on other things that I'm trying to work on, I always sacrifice my thinking time first, which is not great. But you know, it's like those tasks sometimes feel like you were talking about more important because it's like, well, here's a physical thing I need to do. And, you know, sitting and thinking is like, okay, well, I need to pay this bill or I need to send this email. Those feel a lot more pressing. But I think, you know, even just having conversations like this is helpful for me and being honest about those needs with, you know, my husband, because it's good to have people in your life who can remind you when you're feeling a little off again. Be like, well, did you have your time alone? Right. Did you have your thinking time? Maybe you need to go do that and then we'll interact after that.
Yes. I know it does. Like you recognize it. And it sounds like you're a lot like I was that just now I kind of recognize it for what it is, but for the longest time, I didn't know why. Like I knew something was missing in my life, but I couldn't pinpoint what it was. And that quiet time. And I noticed that if I'd been on, you know, like even this past weekend, I was sharing with you before we hit record, we were with, you know, our family and I love that time, but afterwards, or if it's a busy weekend, social, you know, pre-COVID, very social weekend, mm-hmm. like I've learned Monday, I try not to book a lot of things on Mondays or at least Monday mornings. If nothing else, I get Monday morning to myself to just think, process, strategize, you know, whatever it is that, you know, for me, because it is a lot of that strategy piece in there, but at least if nothing else, I have one day, or at least a half a day and I'm okay. But if yeah. I can do it every day, it's even better. Mm-hmm. And your husband has intellection as well, right?
He does. That's, I think, the only one that we have in common in our top five, if I'm remembering correctly.
So is that helpful? I would imagine that would be helpful because you guys can remind each other that, oh, you need your space.
It's definitely helpful, but I, you know, it's interesting because, and this is where like the personality and the different approaches to these things come in. It's like, I definitely have a higher need to be completely alone for my thinking time. Like I have a, you know, I have a larger cup that needs filling in that way, where he often feels very restored with his intellection, often like even just having discussions with other people. Like he loves having a good discussion with another person. And I feel like he's sometimes more filled by that than even just his complete, you know, time alone, like reading and thinking on his own. And so, you know, we've definitely seen how that has differed over this past year because I've had to make a lot more requests for, I need some more space and some more time to be alone so I can function better. Whereas like for him, he could be with me, you know, 24/7 and be fine most of the time. So, you know, it's interesting, even with the same strength, same gift, you know, it does manifest differently. And so even figuring out like, what's my style of integrating this in my life, is an important question to ask too.
Right. Right. And it definitely does our, you know, talents and themes and strengths, all the other ones that we have, our top five, our top 10, definitely do play in there with how it does manifest itself in our lives as well. How has having the intellection helped you in a work situation?
Yeah. So what's coming to mind? So back when I was working at the Cajos Music Hall prior to COVID, a lot of what we had to do was a lot of like preparation work for shows. So it's like, you know, there's, you know, the events, which were kind of the, you know, the big thing we're always working towards, but, you know, most of our time was really being spent kind of preparing for things. And so for me, so much of what my job included was, how do I organize so many different pieces of information while also like strategizing about, you know, how are we going to market this new show and what needs to go out for this thing? And so I spent so much of my time really alone in my office while I was working there, sitting down and really thinking through, you know, what's the most efficient way to do this event, and let's come up with some ideas, and let's work through this new marketing plan, and let's, you know, so many different angles of the business that I was honored to be a part of. My intellection definitely came into play, like I feel like almost on a, you know, definitely on a daily basis, where, you know, the better time I spent thinking and preparing for things, the better I ended up executing once we actually had to go. And I definitely saw the difference in times when we would get super, I mean, it was a very busy job in general, but there were times where that alone time and that prep time that I would normally have would get squashed by, you know, getting interrupted by, you know, different things that would happen. And realizing like, oh, when I don't have that, you know, I go into like action mode and I'm not fully there, and I haven't brought my best ideas to the table. And so it definitely came up a lot for me there, because we were in a very entrepreneurial environment. You know, we had just built this company up from scratch. And so that intellection power was definitely one that I leaned on a lot, you know, balancing so many different aspects of business and so many different moving parts.
And did you find that the people you worked with respected that, they saw that in you as well, that, oh, Hannah needs her thinking time, or don't disturb Hannah, she's thinking, you know, did they respect that?
Yeah. So I basically had one woman I was working with. It was just the two of us primarily, other than like the staff that came in for events. And so we had a really, we developed a very good working relationship. And so, you know, she would often give me kind of a problem, you know, like, okay, we need to, what are we going to do about this? And I would just be like, give me that and I'll come back to you in a day, and I'll have a whole list of things and ideas for you.
Oh, perfect. So your restorative and your intellection could just go work with you, right?
Oh my gosh. All you needed, yeah. Right? I loved it. I mean, give me a good problem to work on and I am like in my zone. So
I love that. So we've been addressing also the blind spots, the barriers that show up when we are either not in a healthy space ourselves, like we were talking about before, when we sense that we're not getting our space, but it also sometimes can be how people perceive that theme, the intellection, or the issues they have with that theme.
Yeah.
So the possible blind spots are that they may slow things down because they are taking too much time to think, or they might appear isolated or aloof. And we kind of talked a lot about that, especially as a child, that isolated or aloof part. But how do you handle that situation if others feel like, okay, Hannah, like you're taking so much time to think this through, can we just make a decision, or can we just move forward? Like, how does that come up in your life, and how do you address that?
Yeah, I think, you know, how that often plays out for me is like in decision-making processes. most people who know me would describe me as an indecisive person. And I think that's, you know, often because I'll get stuck in almost like thinking too much about a decision. I'm a horrible person to play would you rather with. Like I can remember trying to play that like as a party game before, and it was just like, but wait, can you tell me like what are the circumstances and what's this and what's that? Because like I want to sit and I want to look at it from every angle. And so like making those like quick decisions on things was like impossible for me. So definitely a stick in the mud with that game. But in terms of like decision-making, you know, I think sometimes what has been needed is like, I'll lose touch sometimes with like being able to discern, like, what do I actually value in this circumstance? You know, I'll just kind of get lost in the pieces of information and sometimes need some help from people with other gifts to be like, well, Hannah, let's get back to like, what's your intention here? What do you value in this situation? To kind of help me, you know, kind of rein in that sometimes never ending, you know, kind of mental speculation that I can get stuck in kind of like a feedback loop with. So it's definitely, you know, it's been helpful for me to at times like have other people kind of sit down with me and enter into my intellection process with me and help me sometimes make sense of those things when I'm, you know, kind of lost at sea with too much mental thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I could see where that with the intellectual, you could definitely get stuck there, like just wanting more information or wanting to continue to think about it and all of that, and having somebody that can help you think. Do you find sometimes just even thinking, sometimes I have a couple of friends and I'm just like, I just need to think out loud for a minute. Can you just listen? And sometimes they help me come up with solutions, but sometimes it's even just saying things out loud to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
At least for the strategic brain of mine, that helps, you know, work things out on its own. Does that help you as well? Like being able to say things out loud to somebody?
Oh, 100%. Like, it's funny you say that because right before we got onto this call, I was having one of those conversations with a friend about a decision I'm trying to make and feeling lost at sea with like so many different angles of information that I'm processing. And she's super good at like asking questions and like being really detail oriented with like, well, what about this and what about that? And so I'd send her a text and I said, I got this big decision that came up out of nowhere. Can you listen to me and then ask me some questions? And and it was very helpful. So yeah, 100%. I do that very frequently.
Yeah. Your friend coach, right? We need those.
We all need some good friend coaches for sure.
Do you know, has she ever done her strengths? Does she have intellection in her top five too?
You know, she hasn't done it yet, but I was telling her about this podcast. I was like, I gotta go. So I was telling her about it. So I've mentioned it to her in the past, but yeah, I'd love to see her do that and see. I have some clues about maybe what would be in there, but it would be fun to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we kind of wrap things up here, I've been, you know, leaving everybody with a few things to continue to invest in your intellection talents. So Hannah, it sounds like you're already doing a lot of these things, but if anybody else is listening that also has intellection in their top five or top 10, these are some ideas that you can take and start using them. And just like any muscle, to build strength in our body, we have to continue to work at it and lift our weights and build those muscles. The same thing with the Clifton strengths. We have to continue to work with them and, you know, discover them. One is actually what you just shared. That's why I did ask that if she has intellection, because one of the thoughts is to find peers to have thought-provoking conversations with. And so to have that in your life is perfect. Another way to invest in that is just to, again, we've been talking a lot about this today, set aside a few minutes every day to collect your thoughts. Doing this will make your thinking sharper and more effective. I mean, that has definitely been the main thing we have emphasized today. And it's not, you know, for somebody with high intellection or even again, strategic, there's a couple other themes that this shows up in. It shouldn't be looked at as a luxury it really is a necessity for people with high intellection to take that time to show up if you're going to show up as your best self. The other thing is build relationships with people you consider important thinkers. Their example will inspire you to focus your own thinking. So finding those people that have, you know, that also, whether it's may not be intellection, but people that just like to have deep discussions, or maybe people you've admired are important to have in your life, in your space. And giving others, this is important for people that don't have intellection that are in your space, to giving others time to think through your new idea after you have presented it for the first time. Realize that they might not immediately understand this new idea because they have not spent as much time pondering it as you have. So that's something definitely to remember. Anything else that you would add that has helped you continue to invest in intellection to make it a strength of yours?
Yeah. I mean, all those are so good. That idea of not viewing it as a luxury, I think is so, so key. And also I think, you know, a good reminder as well for anybody who might have this as a gift or hasn't maybe identified it yet, is just that, you know, look at this as a pro-social behavior, that being alone in that thinking, and don't balance it into like, oh, okay, well, if I'm doing this, then I'm gonna, you know, everyone's gonna, you know, think that I'm antisocial and don't like people, or, you know, that kind of train of thinking, but looking at it as like, actually my investment in my time alone is an investment in my relationships. I think is really helpful, especially for, you know, folks like myself who may have struggled with like owning this, you know, this quality, as something that's good rather than something that maybe, you know, is, you know, for some reason detrimental to relationships. It really is. You show up as your best self when you invest in this part of yourself. And when you don't, then, you know, you see that lack. So
yeah, it's funny, and it might be because it's dinner time that I'm thinking this way, but I keep thinking of it being like being hangry. And I know when I am hungry, I freely admit it to anybody that's in my space. If I'm hungry or tired, I am not my best. And I might say something or do something because I'm not showing up at my best because I'm hungry. I just need to be fed. And I feel like it's the same thing with intellection, or again, these other themes that need that quiet space, that it's like that. If you don't feed that need to be alone, you're going to show up kind of grumpy. You're going to show up kind of like agitated or just irritable and not give others your best. So to be more social, you're so right. Like to be your social best, you've got to start off with that quiet time in that thinking time for yourself and honor that.
Yeah. There needs to be like a word for that. Like if you're
hangry.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. I don't know what that would be. I'm not quick enough to think about that.
But well, you can ponder that one, Hannah. Ponder that one. Come up with the word. Let me know. The last question I did have, I'm curious, do you meditate?
I do, not as consistently as I always would like to, but as it's something that I started practicing a couple of years ago, and it can be really helpful for this, definitely.
Yeah, I could see where meditation would be a great thing to add in, that just kind of that, again, giving yourself space to just let the thoughts come and, you know, come and go.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for mentioning that. That's another great recommendation for anyone with this, because yeah, having space to just kind of sit and observe those thoughts and just kind of bring that quiet can be very grounding.
And that might be more socially acceptable to say, I'm just going to go meditate versus just going to go think,
Say you're just going to go think is definitely one that makes people scratch their heads. But yeah, maybe if you need a socially acceptable term, meditation definitely fits that.
And I love something that's written in my, the book here from Clifton Strengths. And this should be the motto of intellection is think deeply and think often.
Oh, I like that. Yes. I applaud that and I live by it.
Good. So anything else, Hannah, that you would add about strengths in general, you know, the Clifton strengths or the intellection?
Yeah. So I think I'll say maybe something similar to how I wrapped up our last podcast is just an encouragement to anybody who hasn't done this, that the more you can bring self-awareness to what your qualities are and what your strengths are, I think there's so much more sense you can make of your life and your decisions and why certain things have felt like they fit you very well versus, you know, why maybe you never seem to really get on board with certain environments or workplaces that you were in. And, you know, as we're all kind of on our journey of self-discovery, I think, you know, bringing tools like Clifton Strengths into the picture can really help highlight things for you that maybe like this intellection issue for me, learning how to embrace parts of yourself that you may have always had a hard time accepting and seeing them legitimized and seeing the benefit in them can be so healing for you. And so, you know, who knows, maybe there's some aspects of yourself that you have always been aware of, but you just need to see them in a different light, you know, to really embrace them and see how much good they can bring into your life and your decision-making and your career and your relationships. So I definitely recommend for anyone who's been listening through this, who hasn't done it yet, that it's definitely a worthwhile investment. And, you know, I think self-discovery, self-awareness is always something we should be continuing to invest in.
Perfect way to wrap up this episode. So Hannah, thank you so much again for being on the show and sharing your experience with strengths and your experience that you've had with the intellection. I really, as always, enjoyed the conversation.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a delight to talk to you again. And I look forward to seeing everything else you have coming out in the series.
Great. And let me know if you come up with the word for the hangry, for intellection, or for thinking. So
I totally will.
Hey friends, thanks as always for listening to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs podcast. I really do appreciate your time and for you being here. And a few quick things before you do go. Number one, if you haven't yet, can you leave a review if you find these shows valuable? Reviews really do matter to iTunes and to others so that they know this episode or this podcast is worth taking the time to listen to out of the millions of podcasts out there. And you never know, I might just read your review on a future episode. Number two, make sure to hit that subscribe button so that you can be one of the first to know when a new episode downloads. And three, if you've been enjoying this series on the Clifton Strengths 34, this is a huge one. Can you take a screenshot? Post that picture on your Instagram or Facebook account. Make sure you tag me in it and let me know why you loved that episode and what you're enjoying about the series. And of course, if you've done the Clifton Strengths assessment, make sure to include your top five. And number four, and the last thing, if you take your assessment and you feel a little stuck and you're like, I don't even know what to do with this information right now, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm available on email and of course the DMs and Facebook and Instagram. And I would love to talk you through how to really tap into your talents so you can turn them into your superpowers and your strengths. Thanks again for listening to the show.